Hey, hey, this is Wesley Ryan, and you are listening to what is not just another brand new episode of The Positive Psychology of Pop Music, but what is also the first of three very special episodes. Now, if you've been a fan of this show since the very beginning, you'll remember how excited I was when Carney Wilson of Wilson Phillips agreed to share her musical inspirations with me on the very first radio episode. You'll remember that I totally geeked out when NSYNC's Lance Bass agreed to appear on the show, and just a few months ago, the ladies of N Vogue literally gave me one of the biggest highlights of my entire life. And don't get me wrong, I worship Wilson Phillips, I'm in love with NSYNC, and I absolutely adore N Vogue. But the honor of being my all-time favorite pop group ever goes to The Party. I wanted to sing like them. I wanted to dance like them. I wanted to dress like them. I even had their faces airbrushed on my birthday cakes. Note the S there at the end, because that happened more than once. So anyone who knows me can only imagine how excited I was when not one, not two, but three freaking members of The Party agreed to sit down with me and chat about their own music and the songs that have inspired their lives and careers. So this week, kicking off an entire month of party-centric episodes, we'll be checking out my interview with The Party's Damon Pampolina, listening to his favorite party tunes, and getting the inside scoop on all things Mickey Mouse Club, The Party, and his post-Disney life. And not only that, but I will be debuting a never-before-released party tune from their reunion just a few years back. There is so much to get into, but there's no better place to start than the story of how it all began. And as much as I know about The Party, and trust me, I know quite a bit, I'd never heard the story of how they came together. And Damon didn't disappoint, as he didn't just give me the details behind the creation of The Party, but also shared his personal theory on the magic he shared with Albert, Chasen, Dee Dee, and Tiffany.
The first thing I wanted to say to you, obviously, is thank you. Party was like the biggest part of my teenage life.
Oh, right on.
I really wanted to be you for like several years. See, like hair, like style, everything. I made my mom buy me a vest. So like you were my style icon for sure.
Thank you, man.
One of the things that it's surprising to me, because I was like the biggest Party fan. I had like a birthday cake with your faces airbrushed
on
it. Like,
I love it.
It was out of control. But I never really got the story of how the five of you came together to form The Party.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if you could talk about that.
If you look back at some of these episodes, it's pretty amazing because you can see the progress that started molding. And I'll tell you something that's pretty interesting in my theory. So me, Albert, and Chase were inseparable. Some of the older of the members had some amazing chemistry that started taking place. Disney started noticing that. When Hollywood Records was formed, it was kind of a no-brainer. See, you have to understand, this is pre-Miley Cyrus, pre-NSYNC, pre-Hillary Duff, all those artists that came from the Disney shows. Well, this was pre all that. So we didn't have anybody other than maybe New Kids on the Block to look up to and go, oh, we could aspire to become that, right? So Disney was already kind of looking like, oh yeah, and they see the chemistry and we see that what's happening with these older kids. The way that they did it though was they kind of came to the entire cast to maybe make it more of a fair process, if you will, and kind of presented it to the entire cast. Which now in hindsight, I think was not one of the smartest things to do.
Was there contention?
Because then you kind of had this cutting board concept, if you will, right? So everybody, we got this idea that we're going to do this pop group, you know, and they're presenting it to the entire cast, knowing probably who they had in mind. One of the things that I look back now, for example, is we did a song called Party Train from the Gap Band, and it was the five members, and it was on the Mickey Mouse Club. This was pre-Party, so technically Michael Eisner was the one that picked the name. So I think he started looking at footage from the show. He saw us. He saw that number, you know, Party Train, this group, calling the party. This is honestly my theory, right? Yeah. I never got confirmation.
Okay. All right.
And so with that being said, I think they knew going into it, but I think they just wanted, because we were kids, they had to try to present it in a way that they felt maybe was fair, you know, instead of just going, here's our five, they're going to go off and do the group. Hey, we're kind of looking at all you guys. We're trying to figure out what, you know what I mean? But then there was obviously maybe a little bit of heartbreak. Because now the older ones got to evolve and go on and leave the show to do greater, you know, things, yeah, and not be there somewhat stuck, you know, doing the show and stuff. So as artists, that's what you always want to do, is evolve. So it was good and bad the way they kind of did it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was tough.
Well, I love that you mentioned that song. I watched some YouTube videos on the way up here, and I was watching Opposites Attract.
Oh, shoot, yeah.
And it was mostly the five of you, and I think Brandy was maybe the other person in there. Yeah. But you could kind of see the chemistry in that as well, so I thought that was really neat.
I think when Eisner went back and was looking at the footage, I think he was one of the – I'm sure there's a group of them, but whoever made the ultimate call, they went back and looked at the footage, you know, and they're seeing Party Trains on, you know. And the numbers that maybe stuck out was the three guys, you know, the two girls, and then us together and stuff,
Yeah.
So then they started going. It was kind of a no-brainer.
I honestly cannot tell you how much pleasure it brings me to do what I am about to do. I have an incredibly vivid memory of being 10 years old, hanging out with my sister in our backyard pool, and freaking out when I heard the DJ on the radio say that for today's Hot or Not competition, the battle would be between The Party's Summer Vacation and some other song that I can't be bothered to remember. I'm fairly certain I almost drowned my sister trying to crawl out of the pool fast enough to vote, and unfortunately, I did not make it. This is like 1990, folks. There were no cell phones, and the really annoying spiral cord that attached to our kitchen phone did not make it all the way to the backyard pool. So I was devastated and instantaneously mad at every single person in my community when Summer Vacation lost that particular battle. But here I am, some 27 years later, finally enacting justice on that fateful summer day and guaranteeing that The Party's Summer Vacation plays on my favorite radio station. And by the way, this track may not have hit it big in Baptist Valley, Virginia, but it was successful enough in other parts of the country to not only get The Party on the charts, on the radar of millions of listeners, and a place in summertime pop music history. As someone who spent the majority of his life in school in some way, shape, or form, this is still the song I used to celebrate that very last day of class. And it's the perfect time to check it out now and let Damon, Albert, Dee Dee, Chasen, and Tiffany kick off my favorite time of year. This is The Party with Summer Vacation.
I loved y'all in the Mickey Mouse Club, but when you became The Party, it was just the coolest pop thing for me. I want to talk about it in a little bit, but just I'm so curious as to what your favorite songs are from The Party.
Because of how we were able to create, it was from the Free album, which was Frontin' with me and Joan, with Andre Simone, which Andre Simone came from Minneapolis, and he was technically tied into Prince and Morris Day and that clique. He did a lot of Jody Watley's big stuff that she won all her Grammys for and stuff. So Andre Simone, which coincidentally her daughter was a fan of ours. That's how we got attached to Andre Simone. Jody Watley's daughter, and I think it was their daughter, came to a show. We started talking, and then, hey man, we'd love to work with you. And the next thing you know, we were in the studio working with him. So Frontin', to answer your question and not to get off track, it was one of my favorites because of how it came to be. And then when we started laying down the vocals, he was kind of like, wait, what the hell are y'all doing? He was like, oh, man, we got this thing where we kind of want to go back and forth, kind of a sing rap deal, but he just wasn't feeling it. He was like, I don't know, man. I'm just not seeing eye to eye on this. And we're like, what? And we were loving it. And then we were like, all right, man, would you mind if we just take it from here and go and do our own thing with it? He was like, yeah, cool, I'm out. So then we went and finished it on our own. So then when we were performing it and the reception was so strong, we were like, good. We were right, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of that thing.
Yeah.
We were on to something anyway. That and I loved doing I Want You, which was one of my solo tracks because, again, they were kind of giving us free reign by the Free album. No pun intended. They were kind of letting us run with it. So Beastie Boys did Paul's Boutique right a few years prior, and I was totally just engulfed in that album. So I took the loop of the beginning of Shake Your Rump and sped it up and then started writing in the studio. And then that, you know what I mean? But just that whole process, like we were maturing and coming to an age where we were like really starting to get in the creative process and they were giving us free rein. And so that was just awesome. You know? And then I have to say, and this is a God's honest truth, again, because of the creative process, how it came to be and doing it in the studio and then now is a song called Sugar and Sweat. Not Sugar is Sweet, but Sugar and Sweat that we did 3 years ago when the group reunited. It's honestly my favorite that we've ever did of all time.
That might kick switch out of my current workout loop because that
yeah,
sick
dude,
too.
This one to me, I hear it and I'm just like, this is nice. Dee Dee murders it. Chase murders it. And it was just so fun, and it was, I got sentimental value now because just what was going on when we reunited, I felt like we were back in our groove. There was a beautiful energy in the studio. Again, we were all just kind of creating, and we went in and laid it down. I'm like, this song is going to just blow up, and it never got released. So those three tracks.
You can't see me right now, but I'm doing that really annoying hair swoop peacocking thing where I'm so proud that three of Damon's favorite party tracks are three of mine as well. Look, I spent my entire teenage life wanting to be Damon Pampalina. You have no idea how much joy any similarity brings me. And you're gonna hear each of those tracks in this hour. I actually have quite a bit to say about the psychological impact of I Want You in just a few minutes, and I'll be debuting Sugar and Sweat, an unreleased track from the party's recent reunion, at the end of the hour. But for now, let's kick off Damon's favorite tunes with a track that truly epitomizes the vibe of the party's amazing third album, Free. With the song that is responsible for my personal response of why you want to front on me whenever someone's not being honest, this is the party who, by the way, says that much cooler than I do, with Frontin'.
I love that you mentioned Free because I loved the first album, and In My Dreams is one of my favorite songs.
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to say.
I mean, that cover was so sad. I didn't even know it was Dokken until like 10 years later.
Dee Dee murdered it, man.
Yeah. But the Free album, I'm eventually going to do a season that's just my favorite albums, like track by track, and Free is going to be there.
Right on.
You guys, for me, represented two things I didn't get in my small Pentecostal like upbringing.
Yeah.
One was sexuality. I mean, to see, you know, you mentioned I Want You.
Yeah.
You and Tiffany had that I Found Love, like, sweet adolescent, and then you put out I Want You. I was like, holy shit, like, yeah. This is the next level.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was one thing to see people who were overtly sexual all the time, but then to see people you'd seen on, a TV show kind of grow up, it was like, no, it's okay to, like,
right.
get down and dirty and be
right.
sexy, you know?
Right. Yeah, and, you know, if you look at our pop stars from the same nucleus, the MMC, if you will, that have gone on, they all went through that phase of paying their dues, keeping it clean and pop. And then as they evolved, they wanted to start pushing the boundaries. You know, Christina Aguilera, Dirty, and Britney, you know, all the stuff that she started doing. And it's just a natural progression.
Yeah.
You know, you just, as an artist, you just kind of, Rihanna has gone through it. We've seen it so many times, you know.
Yeah.
Miley Cyrus, man. I'm an adult, I'm older. If I'm going to be in the spotlight, I need to stir things up. I've got to be provocative. And this is who I am. I'm going to stay true to who I am.
Right.
And we're all humans.
Picture it. Baptist Valley, Virginia, 1990. Little Wesley Ryan is obsessed with the music video for the party's I Found Love. When my poor mother would walk in the living room and catch me horribly doing the choreography to this video, it was pretty clear that my idea of love, and lots of things really, was pretty simple. Like Tiffany Hale, I really just wanted somebody to hold me tighter all the time, somebody who was sheer perfection and kept me moving in the right direction. I also wanted that cute little hat with the pink flower on it, but I wouldn't realize that for another decade or so. My point is that I have so much love for the party's first album. It not only introduced us to Damon, Tiffany, Albert, Chase, and Dee Dee, but it really gave us some fun, innocent, simple pop tunes that are still great to this day. But when I heard the party's third album, Free, I remember thinking, what is going on? I was so intrigued, so captivated by the new sound, the mature lyrics, not really knowing what they meant, but really knowing I wanted to. And believe it or not, that distinct dichotomy between Damon and Tiffany's sweet I Found Love and Damon and Dee Dee's very mature I Want You was actually very influential in my own coming out process. I was really not popular in high school, and my social anxiety was on full blast in college, but when I got to graduate school, I actually got a girlfriend for the very first time, who, I kid you not, unsurprisingly probably, looked quite a bit like Tiffany Hale. And so we held hands, and we held each other tighter. She was indeed sheer perfection and kept me moving in the right direction, and we had that cutesy hand-holding I Found Love kind of thing. But I didn't feel the I Want You kind of thing. I didn't feel any passion, any physical chemistry, despite her being extremely attractive. And while I was going through the motions, set in place in part by the party's I Found Love, I wanted more. I wanted that passion, that fire, that's not just puppy love, but that keeps adult relationships going and fulfills a very important part of human behavior. So there you have it. I probably picked apart those two songs more than anyone on the planet ever has, but that's how much music music meant to me. It's what helped me understand the world. And so the two tracks you're about to hear not only signified a new maturity in the party's transition and growth, but also in mine, and I suspect lots of other people out there. So put your seatbelts on, because we're going to go from innocent puppy love to that adult, passionate, gotta have it love in the span of about 8 minutes. This is The Party with I Found Love, and I Want You. Perfection, she keeps me moving in the right direction. I'm on time and she's on mine. Now I'm young at heart, but that's no crime. I found a boy with the sweetest eyes. He may be small, but the boy is wise. When he does the dance, I'm in a deep trance. Now I'm hoping for a real romance. You know what? I want you. I want you. I need you. I need you. I love you. I love you. You got to have me. I want you. I want you. I need you. I need you. I love you.
The other thing was just the diversity. You mentioned that New Kids was maybe the only group that was comparable, but I mean, you had boys and girls and different races and different genres of music even, and it pisses me off that, I mean, it should have blown up. You were so ahead of your time, and even to this day, you don't see that diversity in music. So
I appreciate that, man.
Yeah. When you think back on that, is that something that's really special to you?
Yeah, I felt like it was a hindrance at the time. I was like, God, people just don't get it. And guys and girls, they want to see five guys and multiracial. I go, it was ahead of its time. The only group now that's kind of tackled that, to me, in the same spirit is Black Eyed Peas. Mm-hmm. And they started out just three guys. And then they knew they needed another element, and they brought Fergie in after their first album. But they're the only ones that I've seen that kind of have done that same dynamic. You know, pop, positive, fun, party music. Female, male, rap, you know. But I think it was definitely ahead of its time. I love you saying that. I appreciate that. And Disney was brilliant, by the way, I think, of doing that. But at the time, I remember thinking it's our hindrance.
Radio didn't know what to do with you guys.
Radio didn't know what to do. I remember to MTV to play our stuff was like pulling teeth at the time.
As much joy and fun as The Party has brought to my life, and as much as they've impacted my own personal growth, the biggest thing I got from The Party was an appreciation for the importance of diversity and the uncomfortable awareness of just how big a problem it was, and unfortunately still is, in our society. Look, I grew up around a whole lot of compassionate people who talked a lot about being good and kind, but they were brought up with a lot of prejudice with regard to religion and race and even gender. I certainly don't want to offend anyone of any religion ever, but personally, it always just kind of bothered me in our church when the ladies had a day that they were allowed to do stuff. Like, congratulations, ladies, today we'll let you do things. I credit a lot of the feminism I had at a very young age to my very opinionated, independent, and just overall awesome big sister. But I also attribute it in some part to The Party, who didn't just help me blur the lines of gender, but also the lines of race, and even musical genre. With Damon, Dee Dee, Albert, Tiffany, and Chasen, you had five very different people. Some were guys, some were girls. They had completely different sounds individually, and they had completely different backgrounds. But they all came together to just create beautiful music. I didn't see much diversity at all growing up, but I knew that I wanted to be exposed to it, and I knew that I wanted to celebrate it. And my window to the world I wanted to be a part of was The Party. When you look at the psychological research on prejudice and discrimination, there is often a very strong correlation between age and specific prejudices. The generation before mine was much more likely to have racist ideas and stereotypes than my generation. And so for that, I'm very proud to have grown up when I did. But my generation has a much higher rate of sexual prejudice than the generation that's growing up today. And they often look at people my age and say, I can't believe you have a problem with people of different sexualities, in the same way I used to look at my parents' generation and say, I can't believe you have a problem with people of different races. So part of why I cringe when people say, ugh, the problem with today's generation, or the problem with youth, is that when you look at social change and positive progress, it's the young people who have been paving the way and breaking down walls by expressing what should be a very simple idea, and that's that we're not all that different from each other, despite the labels that we sometimes have put upon us and even cling to. So, in celebration of the current generation, and of every generation, who's chosen to speak out about what they feel is right and the way we should treat each other, I'm thrilled to play one of my favorite Damon-centric party tunes. Let's check out The Party with a cover of The Who's very powerful My Generation.
Gonna do it like this. Bring in the beat.
Welcome back to the Positive Psychology of Pop Music, where this week we're celebrating the music of the party and checking out my exclusive interview with the party's Damon Pampalina. I just realized that we've gotten pretty heavy already in this episode, which is a tad ironic since we're spotlighting the music of the party. So let's lighten things up a bit and just get back to the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Damon Pampalina, and some of the songs that have inspired his life and career.
Bob Seger, Night Moves. I grew up listening to it on wax, and I used to rock in a rocking chair as a kid. I mean, literally forever, and play it over and over again. And when I was at the Mickey Mouse Club going through hard times, I would go in the back of the apartments at the Vinings at a lake that was back there, and I'd listen to it. Just gets me.
Yeah.
Black Crowes, Thorn in My Pride, and Remedy. I'm a huge Black Crowes fan. Southern classic rock is really my heart and soul. Prince, all Prince, anything Prince, but if I mean, you know, you gotta like, Baby I'm a Star, and then Raspberry Beret. Yeah, it's so hard, man. There's so many. But those are like the core top 4 to 5 that like never get old for me, you know? Mm. And I play the hell out of it.
It's time for a back-to-back-to-back Damon Pampalina musical influence extravaganza. This is Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band with Night Moves, the Black Crowes with Remedy, and Prince with Raspberry Beret.
Working on a night move. Trying to lose a awkward teenage blues. Working on a night moves. Mm-hmm. And it was summertime. All I want is a remedy.
I have always been the biggest fan of the song we're about to hear, and that's in part because I've always been such a fan of Damon Pampalina. And anyone who knows me knows that I'm often a fan of guys with a lot of swagger, who just reek of coolness, confidence, and just a really chill vibe. That was who I thought Damon Pampalina was when I was growing up, and during our interview, I wasn't at all surprised that he still had that charisma, that passion for life, and that attitude that I just always thought was so cool. But the song you're about to hear showcased a potential sensitive side to Damon that isn't always found in the guys that have that kind of swagger and coolness. Not that I'm speaking from personal experience, but I may have come across one or two of those in my time. But it didn't take long at all when I was talking to Damon to realize that while he is that cool and charismatic, he's also just a really sweet guy. Sorry, Damon, I hope I'm not busting any street cred that you have. But as I watched him talk about his good friend Lindsay Alley as he opened her show, Blood, Sweat, and Musketeers, which was so phenomenal, by the way, you could hear in his voice just how much Lindsay meant to him and how thrilled he was to be there for her and to share such a magical night with her. Lindsay's show was not only hilarious, it was honestly the most moving thing I've ever experienced as well. And there were more than a few times during that show when I teared up at all of the heart and the emotion she was putting into every performance. I happened to be sitting beside Damon, his stunningly beautiful wife, and his very sweet parents, and when I felt my own tear ducts glistening up, all I had to do was turn to my right to see how genuinely moved Damon was and how much love he had for his friend Lindsay. So I'm sharing all of this with you to highlight what I didn't think was possible. That I came away from my interview with Damon Pampalina being an even bigger fan of someone who was just as fun and chill and charismatic as I thought he'd be, but who it turns out is also just a really caring and compassionate guy as well. You'll hear that in this next track, but not every guy who's capable of singing that way is actually that way in real life. But I'm happy to share with you all that Damon Pampalina is the real deal. So let's all swoon together as we check out Damon, Albert, and the rest of the party on It's Out of My Heart.
I lost my heart deep in your soul. When your love leave me hanging cold, baby, don't leave me this way.
Every time I think of you, my pulse raises.
Welcome back to the Positive Psychology of Pop Music. And if you're as big of a fan of the party as I am, I really hope you've enjoyed all of the nostalgia and fun flashbacks that I've tried to bring to you in the last hour. But the cool thing about being a fan of the party is we don't just have to rely on nostalgia. Each member of the party is still doing their thing, working on their own projects, and reuniting every now and then to give us some amazing new music that they're so proud to have created. I am still holding out hope for a party reunion concert, and please believe I will move heaven and earth to attend it and to do anything I can to make it happen. And that's because I'm not just a fan of the music that Damon, Dee Dee, Chasen, Albert, and Tiffany have given us, but I'm just as big a fan of them as people. They are among the most talented, most hardworking, and kindest people in the industry today. Hopefully, I've made their impact on me personally very clear in the last hour, but with a group named The Party, we have to end this on an upbeat and hella fun track. And fair warning, this is a very adult party tune you're about to hear. So if you're still on that 90s I Found Love kind of level of sexy, you may want to go cue that song up on your iPod while the rest of us check out this never-before-released tune from The Party's recent reunion. It is such an honor to debut it for you now, and it was an even bigger honor to chat with Mr. Damon Pampalina. I want to give a huge thanks to Damon for taking the time to chat, and a huge thanks to you for taking the time to listen. And don't forget, next week you can tune in to hear my exclusive interview with The Party's own Dee Dee Magno Hall. For the Positive Psychology of Pop Music, I'm Wesley Ryan, and with Sugar and Sweat, this is The Party. Put down your phone, your